It is good to be with you, especially to celebrate this week, America's birthday, from someone that has not lived in America a lot over the last 30 years. It is special to us to recognize that we are connected with this country, and we love to come back, and we love to celebrate that, even though we haven't lived in the U.S. all that much over the last few years. Want to share a little bit, if we can put the PowerPoint up, that first slide. Introduce ourselves a little bit to you. Some of you know us, remember us. Some of you do not. One of the connections we have with this church is we became missionaries 30 years ago, almost 30 years ago. And the first church that began supporting us was Sayo Baptist Church. And so this is a special church for us because the church believed in us even before we were missionaries and took us on. And so we, back in the other building when we first came and visited this church. So almost 30 years this church has been supporting us. My wife and I, she actually grew up in Brazil, was born and raised in Brazil. We decided to go back to Brazil and began working in northeast Brazil doing church planting. We were there for almost 18 years when we sensed God was giving us a new direction. So we left there and we went to Mozambique in Africa, where I think Jennifer Straw was a little bit. So we were in Africa for about 3.5 years and felt like this was where God had brought us, and we were excited about what He was doing. And then we got a phone call from our mission. We are with World Venture, the old CBFMS, for those who remember the old name. And they were looking for a new director for the Americas. The old director, the previous director, was retiring. So they asked Corrine and I if we would be willing to take on a new role, a new responsibility. And we struggled a lot with that because it would mean leaving Mozambique. And in the few short years that we were there, we had come to love Mozambique. And when we thought about God moving us out and we recognized that this was what God had been preparing us for, we just cried, literally cried, at the thought of leaving Mozambique. But we sensed that God was doing something greater, and so He led us in this direction. So presently, we live in Brazil. But from Brazil, we visit the Americas and travel to the different fields where World Venture has missionaries. In North America, we have some workers, Central and South America. So our life has been on the road. We're gone from our home in Brazil 180 to 200 days a year. So we see a lot of airplanes, a lot of airports. I think we did a count, and I think we're up to about 80 different airports that we've visited in our lifetime. And so what we want to do is share a little bit about what that work is. Corrine and I being able to share what we do, what is our role, and why is that role important. But before we do, I just wanted to share a little challenge. Last year, I began doing a study on the life of King Saul in terms of leadership. And when we look at leadership, we often want to study David, because of so much in David's life where God led him and some decisions that David made and his effectiveness. But I wanted to look at Saul because I realized here was a leader over Israel, and yet something happened. And what was it that led him to become the leader, but then the decisions that he made? And I got to the story of David and Goliath. And next slide. Illustrates a little bit of my thinking about that story. We can move on. There you go. So a little different twist to David and Goliath. What was going on in Saul's life during this time? We don't need to go into a lot of the details of the story, but we do know that the Philistines were the enemy that they were fighting, and they were on the other side of Israel's encampment, and Goliath was this big giant of a man who was a warrior, who was armed, who was protected, and who was defying Israel. And we know that David shows up and David says, I'll fight him. But Saul was trying to figure out how this is going to work. He's looking at Goliath. He's looking at David. He's looking at Goliath. He's looking at David. And this just doesn't fit. Goliath is this big man and David's this younger, smaller boy. Goliath has got, you know, big spear and sword, and he's got his shield, huge shield, which only he could carry. And David's wearing just the clothes of a shepherd. And Goliath has armor. David has nothing. And so what does Saul do? He says, well, I need to put armor on you. If you're going to fight a warrior who is armed and protected, then you need to fight him with armor and protection and a sword or something to fight with. And we know that David couldn't do that. And as I began to reflect on the story, I realized part of what was happening was Saul was caught in this old paradigm of how you fight a big giant. So you got to go might for might. If he's mighty, then you got to put some protection to make you mighty. If he's protected, you need something to protect you. If he's got a big spear or sword, you got to have a big spear or sword. You got to match him might for might. And we know that couldn't have worked. And it's interesting that David understood, I think, what King Saul could not understand. Because the very thing that Saul wanted him to use to go into battle against Goliath was the very thing that would keep him from having any possibility of success. David knew he had to be able to move. One thing Goliath couldn't do was move quickly. He was big and powerful, but he had one weakness, and that is he was not mobile. He would fight anybody, you know, might for might, he'd win. David understood that. King Saul did not. And as I reflected in our lives, a lot of times we get into those situations, we see that Goliath, that big problem in front of us, and that problem just seems completely, totally beyond our ability to confront. Whatever that is in your life, I don't know. It's powerful, it's protected, it's got weapons that we think it's impossible to defeat. And King Saul would have lost because he was thinking that same way. God has given other ways. The very thing that makes that powerful in our life sometimes is the very thing that we can learn to use to defeat it. And that's just by trusting God. Trusting God that you don't have to fight might for might. We can fight with the power and the weapons of God, which are His Spirit, which are prayer, which are goodness, and conquer. I just wanted to share a little word of encouragement with you before we get into our talk, that maybe there are some Goliaths in your life and it seems impossible. You'd never defeat them. Well, that's true, you wouldn't. Unless you rely on the better weapons that God has placed in our hands. The weapons that He uses that allow us to be mobile when sometimes evil can't be as quick to move. And so I just pray that God would bless your thinking about those Goliaths in your life. But sharing a little bit about our work. First of all, I want to introduce somebody here, Jeff Denlinger. If you know World Venture, and the years that we've been with World Venture, we've had, for us, this would be the third president we've worked with. Hans Vinzel was the president who stepped down about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And Jeff Denlinger has assumed his role as the new president of World Venture at the end of last year. Jeff is a good friend, actually was our boss as we were the director for the Americas. There are four different directors in America, and Jeff was our boss. So we had a lot of good time getting to know Jeff, and he stepped up, and God is moving in Jeff's life, and we really appreciate his input into our mission and his leadership for World Venture as we move forward. So let's go on, and I want to talk to you about a few of the people and ministries that we work with. As I said, we live in Brazil. But from Brazil, we are involved in interacting with our missionaries. So we have about 70 missionaries that we supervise in different places around the Americas. So we're in contact with them, calling them, emailing them, making sure things are going going okay with them. One of the things we do every year, we visit each of them in their fields. And so we want to just share a little bit about what God is doing in the Americas and how we have such a wonderful privilege to be involved with these missionaries in the works that they're doing. This is a church building in Loja, Ecuador. Loja is a city up in the mountains, about 300,000 people. I think Loja is about 8,000 feet elevation. So it's one of those places we get to visit, but we don't get to breathe very much because it's, man, it's hard. Beautiful little city. And this is a church building that was started by Leo and Lulu Calva. They are actually church planters. Leo is from, so the next picture shows them. Leo actually is from Ecuador, but they have worked in the Northwest in a number of years and went back to Ecuador and has started that church that you saw, that beautiful building that actually Leo designed. He's established a church in the city of Loja, but as a central place of being able to reach all of the provinces or all of the smaller cities throughout the province of Loja in Ecuador. And it's just an incredible movement of God and the people that he has brought together. In Ecuador, churches are generally very small. And usually they're not reaching the middle class or the upper class, but Leo has just been able to reach a good group of people that he has brought together to form this church. So not only to create the church, but through that church to be able to reach out into many other places in that area. And he has a desire to see churches established in many of the smaller cities around him. So I want to ask my wife to share a little bit about, go on to this next slide of this couple here.
This family is called the Messicks, and they are a very busy family. They have three active little boys, a little girl, and a fifth one on the way. So they'd fit right in with this church, wouldn't they? And the fifth one was a surprise. But they studied the language in Costa Rica and then went to Guatemala. She's a nurse, he's a contractor, and they were going to work with a Guatemalan doctor there doing CHE, which is community health evangelism. Things were going very well. They were excited about what they were going to do. And 2 months after they got to Guatemala, after studying the language, we got a phone call saying, it's not working out here. You need to come and intervene. That's one of the things that we get to do. And so Jim made a special trip to Guatemala to try and work through with this doctor of how the couple could work with him. But before he could even mediate, the doctor said, we don't want him. They're not a fit for here. And to make a long story short, Jim and the family decided that it was probably best that they go back to the United States and look to see where God might use them somewhere else. So it was a painful process. They went back to the States, had a lot of ups and downs. It was kind of like a roller coaster of emotions because they were so excited, thinking that God had called them to missions, and now what? Was God done with them before they even got started? But we kept talking with them and praying with them and looking at different options, and they decided that they were going to go to Africa. Well, that was great, but they wouldn't be under us anymore. We were kind of disappointed. But then through a set of circumstances, they have now decided to go to Ecuador. And so they are going to go and work with Leo and Lulu in Ecuador. They'll probably work in some of the surrounding villages. And they'll go in and actually live among the people. As a nurse, would be able to give medical counsel and help out in that area, maybe with women's health. And he is studying, doing Bible school so that he can also do Bible studies and work in evangelism and those kind of things. So they're very excited about what God is doing. God wasn't finished with them. He just had a different plan than what they had originally thought of.
And we actually have another couple that is looking to go and be a part of this team, which would be really exciting. So go ahead.
This family are Titus and Stephanie Folden, and they have Sophia and Mateo, and they live in Guayaquil, Ecuador. They have a very interesting ministry. They are trying to get take girls off the streets, abused girls, girls who are would be sold into trafficking, and they're trying to set up homes. It's been a long process. Titus worked for a while in a boys' home there in Ecuador, and through a series of events, he actually was one that denounced the home because there was a lot of abuse going on in the home, and has gone to trial, and it's been a rather hairy process. It can be very dangerous there in Guayaquil. There's a lot of express kidnappings. For a while, they had an imam. Is that what you call it? An imam in their neighborhood.
No, a shaman.
A shaman in their neighborhood, and they would hear him having services and chanting and using their children's names and their and saying, and Stephanie and Titus, and it was very scary for them for a while. We began to pray with them, and this shaman finally moved out of the neighborhood. And it was interesting that even their neighbors said to Titus and Stephanie, "We feel more peace in our neighborhood once again." But they've been in the States for the last year and a half, 2 years, trying to raise funds, work through some things, kind of letting the waters calm in Ecuador. They went back in March and have been able to establish home, get their kids back in school. The trial was set. Titus was supposed to go and testify, and then it was canceled again. So pray for them. It's not an easy lifestyle that they will have in Ecuador. We know that the enemy does not want them to take these young girls off the streets.
I thought it was in there.
Okay.
It's not.
We thought there was a picture of one of the girls that they've been working with. But, you know, so many times they will get the girls to a certain stage, and then they go back to their homes of abuse. The enemy has a way of convincing them. Their parents say, no, it's going to be different this time, and they go back, and then they're sold for a little bit of money for the family. Pray for Titus and Stephanie as they move forward in this process. They would really like to see homes all across Ecuador where these girls can be saved and actually have a new life.
So part of what we do is trying to help these missionaries survive, figure out how to plan for the future, plan their ministries, and then when they get into the ministries, get them whatever tools, whatever special needs they might have to try and help them get the things that will help them to continue to be healthy in ministry. Sometimes that's a difficulty. Sometimes it's a challenge. But another thing we get to do is look for new ministries. And this next slide is John and Carol Hollingsworth, who are from Salem area, who have been in Argentina for a number of years. And so they came to us and they were talking about a potential new ministry and some ideas about what they would like to do. And so this year we actually went with them to visit Peru, a place where World Venture has not been at work, and to see an area that they have a vision for. I don't know where this is going to go, but part of it is to talk with them about what they want to do and see if this would be a fit for what World Venture would like to be involved with. So I just want to give them a couple seconds here to share a little about what they see in this mountain area of Peru. So we can start the video.
Hi, we're John and Carol Hollingsworth. We're missionaries with World Venture. We've been in Argentina the past 3 years. Seen a lot of good things happen there. We're now on our way home from our home assignment and are considering making a change. We're here in Alto Caima, Peru, outside of the city of Arequipa, over 1 million people.
We've been very drawn to the community here. It's 300,000 people in these settlements. The folks come down from the mountains looking for a better life. They're usually llama shepherds or have 10 goats or sheep and try to make a living that way, and they're trying to look for a better life in the city. And I've really enjoyed visiting with them in their homes, seeing the needs of the families. There's a lot of family violence, little children being raised under very harsh conditions. And I've enjoyed being able to be invited in their homes and see what their struggles are and what they're dealing with. And they've been very open and receptive to us coming in and speaking with them. And they're very, very attuned to spiritual things and very aware of God's work in their lives and their need for Him, and we are eager to delve into that more deeply with them, to open the scriptures with them and really encourage them more in their spiritual lives.
So we've been working with them, talking through whether this would be a good place for them to work in ministry, and working with the church, First Baptist in Salem, which is their home church and our home church, to see if God is directing them to Peru. A little change of pace, take you to Brazil, and a couple of slides here. This is a book that represents our publishing house in Brazil. You think of missions, you think of church planting, maybe seminaries, but maybe you don't think so much about books. I see you got lots of books in your library, you're selling some books, buying books for the Dornbecker. Books are significant. They have a very important role to play, not only in education, but in Christianity. In Brazil, we have a publishing house called Vida Nova, which means new life in Portuguese, started by World Venture missionaries many years ago. This is a huge ministry, a multi-million dollar, really, industry of trying to translate and promote good Christian literature. We have done a translation of the Bible. This is called the 21st Century Bible. Just a new translation that now gives us our own translation to be able to use in our publications. This next one is a picture of what's called the Shed Bible. Russ Shedd was a missionary with World Venture, was instrumental in putting together a study Bible that has been used by people who speak Portuguese, not just in Brazil, but Portugal and some of the nations in Africa that also speak Portuguese. This has been an incredible tool, and we're in the process of redoing this Bible to give a better study Bible into the hands of the people. It will be done with our translation, and then continuing with a lot of those notes, but updating the notes and helps in that Bible. And we really believe that this is going to be a huge, huge encouragement to Portuguese-speaking people in Brazil, but in other places. This next book is an interesting one because we, you know, generally we are producing commentaries, Bible dictionaries, Bible encyclopedias, the Bible. And then there's this manga, which is a comic book form from Japan. And in Japan, the people have learned to love this style of comic book form of literature, and they did the whole Bible story. And so Vida Nova decided to publish it in Portuguese. So we brought it from Japan because Brazilians also love this form of comic books, and we created the manga Bible in Portuguese. Incredible, with all the great, great books that we do publish and sell, including Bibles and commentaries. This is one of our best sellers. But it's what people are reading, and it's getting the message into the hands of people in a little different way. Let's go to Argentina, share a little bit about Barb Bentley.
We met Barb Bentley in 1989 when she came to North Brazil to teach our two boys and a couple other missionary families. She lived with us for 2 years, really became a part of our family, and then went home, got her support, came back full time, and was there for almost 10 years. And then all of our kids were grown up and gone, and so she moved to Argentina. And there she became an itinerant teacher going around to the four different cities. Some of them are 4 hours, some 2 hours. She'd go by bus, by car, different things, spending a week in each of the cities, supplementing a lot for the MKs. Well, those MKs have now all grown up too. We don't have new ones to replace them. And so she began to think, okay, what's my next assignment, God? So she came to us and said, you know, I love Argentina, I love working in my church, but God really has gifted me to work with missionary kids so that their parents can be involved in the work. And I am open to going somewhere else. So I need to talk with you guys about some options that have been presented to me. She was given an option to go to Albania, where she actually had two of the MKs, one from Brazil, one from Argentina, who she had taught growing up and who are now missionaries in Albania. And she was also given an option to go to Guinea, West Africa, which is a very difficult place, very little available, no electricity, very hot climate all year round, but who desperately need a teacher so that more missionaries would come to win people to Jesus. And so we went to Argentina and spent a lot of time. She actually took us to all the different missionaries that were there, and while we drove in the car, she talked and I wrote down questions for her to ask when she went on this vision trip. Then she went to Guinea and Albania on the trip and came back through Brazil and spent a week with us debriefing and talking about all the things that she had seen, the questions she had asked. And then we prayed together, and while she was at our house, made a decision for her to go to Guinea, West Africa. We already knew that she would do that because she is such a servant-hearted person, but she needed to go and see these different fields and see where God might be calling her. So we have a little interview with her here that you can go ahead and play.
Hi, I'm Corrine Thorpe, and I'm sitting here in Salta, Argentina with my friend Barbara Bentley. Jim and I, my husband, are the directors for the Americas, and we are here to visit the missionaries in Argentina, and we're spending time with Barbara. We met Barbara in 90, you said, right? 89, okay. She came to North Brazil to teach our boys and other missionary kids as well, and lived with us for 2 years, and really became a part of our family. So Barbara has a very special place in our heart. She was there for almost 10 years, and then the Lord took her to Argentina, and I'll let her tell you a little bit more about that later. And so we've just really been able to keep up this friendship. In fact, when we moved to Mozambique, Barbara came and helped us move to Mozambique, went with us as a team, and then helped us move back to Brazil so that Jim could be her boss. So our friendship has continued over many years. Barb, tell us about why you left Brazil to come to Argentina.
Basically, I left Brazil because I ran out of students. It was very apparent to me that the Lord was asking me to come to Argentina. Do a totally different ministry. I have been involved as an itinerant teacher, which means that I have basically traveled around mostly within three provinces, working with families from five different mission organizations, almost like a private tutor.
You have also been very involved in a church near your home, a local church near your home, as well as having field responsibilities. So why don't you tell us a little bit about some of those things that you've been doing so we can get a more well-rounded picture of your life.
I was very involved in my local church, worked a lot with the young people here, which tends to be more the college career age. Mm-hmm. Often I was able to have people in my home. The kids would come on a regular basis and we would have meetings here or ping pong champions or competitions. Just a place where especially the young people could bring their unsaved friends to something that was a little bit more social. In my local church, I've also had the opportunity to be involved with the women's group for what we did. A couple years ago, I started working with the little ones in a nursery situation on Sunday nights so that they weren't running all around the church and up on the platform, down the stairs, and chasing the dogs in and out through the service. I've also had the opportunity in the city to visit on a regular basis with the pastor's wives here because we have a lot of pastor's wives that do not have anybody that they can share with. And every summer here, we have camps with our church associations, and there have been times that, depending on my teaching schedule, I've been able to spend 1 week out of the summer there. Field-wise, I've had the opportunity to help out by taking care of some of the financial things as field treasurer. And then I've also been able to open my home a lot to hospitality.
I hear that you're going to be making a change in your ministry in the near future, and just wondering why. Why you would be leaving Argentina after all these years. You've made this your home. What's led you to make that change, and where will you be going?
Quick answer is we have no families with children that are coming to Argentina.
In the last few months, you took a vision trip and not only went to Guinea, but you also went to Albania, where we have at least four missionary families. You chose Guinea. So what led you to choose Guinea over Albania?
I thought that there were fewer choices for our missionary families in Guinea, that none of the individuals that have made visits have determined to go there. And I know that one of the factors is because they were concerned about the education for their children.
Share with us some of the things that you need to do to finish well here in Argentina, and then what are the challenges that you are looking at as you move to a new field in Guinea?
I need to finish up an internal audit that we are doing on our field books. Also, to be able to allow the Argentines and myself to close well, to be able to say goodbye. That's going to be tough, but I know it's important.
Yes.
As far as getting ready to go to another country, major investigation to find out about shipping, because majority of the resources that I have here in Argentina, school supplies and resources, I would dearly love to take to Guinea with me. They have asked me to take things that will allow them to set up a solar house. So I also need to have a shipment from the United States as well as from Guinea, or from here to Guinea if it's possible. So I have a lot of investigation to do. Challenges in Guinea, learning another language. French will be the official language that I'll be learning for Guinea. Working in a situation that is hot, very humid there.
All year round.
All year round. Learning how to remember that there are times when I need to eat with my right hand instead of my left hand because of the cultural significance that that makes. And I'm left-handed, so that's going to be a challenge.
Yeah. What are some things that you would like people to be praying for you for over these next months?
As you mentioned, being able to finish up well here, to be able to do it in a timely fashion, to be able to finish here as quickly as possible so that I can get to the States to do what needs to be done there so that I can start language school as soon as possible, and not leave families in Guinea that are hoping that I can be there, having to work with their children for these 2 years. Also to be able to share adequately with the churches there so that they understand the move in the States, and to be able to discover that support that's needed.
I'm Jim Thorpe, and I approve of this message. I'm Jim Thorpe, and I am the director for the Americas Ministries for World Venture. And so it is just my privilege to sit down with Barb. We have been colleagues in Brazil. We have been friends from long distances in Mozambique when she was in Argentina and we were there in Mozambique. And then having her come and helping us move back to Brazil. And now for the last 4.5 years to be her director, to be able to visit her in Argentina and to share really this journey with her as she looked at a change of fields. Being willing to look at redeployment to another country. Been excited to see the way that God has worked in her life, and especially her willingness to say, I'll go to the hard place. I'll do the difficult thing because somebody else might not be able to do it. So we just thank God for Barb. And she is a friend, she is a colleague, and she's one of my heroes. So it's just been good to be able to talk to her about this time in her life, this transition in her life.
Go ahead to the next slide.
We met Roberto and Roberta in 2006 when we were still living in Mozambique. We had come to Argentina to speak at a missions conference that they had there, and this couple was the Association of Churches wanted to send a couple to Mozambique to work alongside of us there. And so Roberto and Roberta began to prepare themselves for missionary service in Mozambique. And so each time we came, even after we left Mozambique, we would meet with them and encourage them and find out how they were doing. It was really difficult. Support was really an issue there. But finally the churches got them ready to go, and they came to Brazil in January. They decided, since the Mozambique team, the leader was not there, he wanted them to come in July. They said, why don't they go to Brazil for 6 months, learn the language, work with the street kids there, and then in July, when our team leader was back in Mozambique, they would go there. So they came to Brazil in January, and Roberto was already not feeling good that last year that they were in Argentina. He had gone to the doctor, but he didn't really follow through on a lot of the things because he knew that God was going to heal him. If God called him to be a missionary, then God would touch his body and heal him. Shortly after they got to South Brazil, he went into the hospital. It was discovered that he had skin cancer. It was already very advanced. It penetrated his lung, and he died within a couple months of being in Brazil. Roberta was, of course, devastated to think that perhaps their missionary career was over. Barb Bentley, who you just saw, volunteered to come. Roberta had never been on a plane before. They had come to Brazil by bus from Argentina. She came, helped her pack things back up, and take the body back to Argentina where he was buried. Her desire is still to go to Mozambique. We have been talking with her and encouraging her. And even though she's not one of our missionaries, per se, that we oversee, we've been very involved in their lives. And so when we were there in March, we were able to spend some time with her as well. And right now, the churches are kind of divided in Argentina. They really want to send a couple. But Roberta really wants to go and do the work that God called her and her husband to do in Mozambique. Pray for the churches, for Roberta, that God will open up the doors for her to be able to go to Mozambique and share the gospel that she so desires to do.
Go ahead and skip a couple of slides here and just go ahead and to the next one. Just talk a little bit about North America. We always think of missions over there. But we are also responsible to oversee ministries in North America. We have a couple in near Montreal, up north of Montreal, planting churches in French-speaking Canada. But kind of to illustrate a little, and then we have about 8 people spread throughout the United States working with people coming from other countries to live in the United States. This is just an interesting picture because we were, Karine and I, with this couple on the left, are missionaries that are actually in Fresno, California area. But we were in Chicago for a conference together, and this woman is from Brazil. Her parents were missionaries, went to Albania, and now are still ministering in Italy. But she was living in the Chicago area, and so she was coming to meet us. As we were going down to meet her, to see her again, because she grew up in the city that we worked with for a number of years, we were in the elevator with Larry, and they were missionaries in Albania for many years. And this woman was there. And so Larry says, "Well, so your name is such and such," and he pronounced it in an Albanian accent. And she kind of brightened up, and turns out she was from Albania, working in that hotel. And so Larry talked to her a little bit about the city they lived in, Korcha, and she says, "Well, that's where I'm from." And just an incredible moment of being in an elevator in the United States with a missionary from Albania meeting a woman who lives in the United States, but she's from Albania, which just is a representation of what is happening all over North America. The peoples, cultures, and other languages are all flooding into North America. And so one of our roles is trying to figure out how are we going to interact with these people. Just show this last, this next one is just our IMD team. We are the directors for the Americas. We have 3 other couples that are working in Asia, Africa, and Europe, and the Middle East. And so we have an incredible team of these 4 couples that we meet together a couple times a year talking about the things we're facing and doing. This was an opportunity we had this year, to sit down with the Brazilian Baptist Mission Agency. And this was in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. Brazilian Baptists sending out missionaries around the world, and we had an opportunity to find out how they're doing that and what some of the ways that we're working together or could work together. So it's an incredible part for us to be part of this team. I do want to just close and let my wife share briefly about our boys so you know a little bit about our family.
Okay, there's some should be some slides of the kids.
Oh, yeah, go ahead and pass this one. There you go.
This is our oldest son, Joshua, and his wife, Stephanie, and their 3 little girls. They just went on a missions trip to Brazil, and I had the opportunity to babysit the girls for the last 10 days. I am very delighted that Mom and Dad made it home. There were protests in Brazil. They weren't sure they were going to get to the airport. I'm going, please, God, please. No, I love them dearly, but as all of you grandmas out there know, it's great to have them, but it's really nice to hand them back. So anyway, it's a lot of fun to be with them, and usually when we come to the States, we stay with them so they think we belong to them. The next slide is our son Michael and his two sons, Jude and Matheson, and they live in Bellevue. He works for Microsoft. They're moving to Oregon at the end of this next month, July. So we're excited that he'll now be surrounded by his brothers, and that'll be fun. And then the third slide is our youngest son, Jonathan, and he just got married June 1st to Jessica. And so we're excited to have another Thorpe woman in the family.
So, just share a little bit about what our life is like, our traveling around to visit these missionaries. We are blessed, truly, to be involved with the lives of these workers. God has given World Ventures some really special workers. We have some wonderful people working on our fields in the Americas. And for Corrine and I, it's hard to travel. But being able to be in their homes and share with them and even encourage them and have some of them actually say, you know, if it wasn't for Jim and Corrine, we wouldn't be here still. Because we know we have a part in helping them get the tools and they need to be effective and to remain on their mission. So it's just a great opportunity that God has given us. We thank the church because you have a part in that. What God is doing in the Americas, as you support us, you give us the ability to be able to visit these churches, these missionaries, and work in their lives and encourage them so they can do more. So you have a part in what God is doing all over North, Central, and South America. So thank you for being a partner with us and letting us come and share a little bit about what God is doing in our ministry.